It is really a pleasure to have you young people here and to share your vocal talents, and thank you, Patrick, for bringing them. You may wonder why Rhonda's down here this morning. This will be for a couple weeks. We're having some work done on the organ that I'm sure you're better at explaining than I am, but they've been in all week grabbing some pipes and taking them out and all sorts of good things like that. So we look forward to hearing it again in about 4 weeks. 4 or 5 weeks, so. In the meantime, it's a pleasure to hear you play that piano. At the classy Peabody Hotels in Nashville and Orlando, hundreds of people come to lunch every day for one specific reason. The diners come for the ducks. Not to eat duck, but to watch ducks. The Peabody Hotel, you see, is famous for its schooled entourage of fowl who arrive every day at noon via an elevator from their penthouse home, and they come down to the dining room. To the sound of a John Philip Sousa march, a dozen ducks march down the red carpet single file, keeping rhythm with the march. The ducks then take a short, stately swim in the hotel fountain, and then they march out again in single file to their waiting elevator, and they return to their rooftop home. Now, ducks just swimming in a hotel fountain would never elicit anything more than a few oohs and ahs from the infrequent child visitor, or for a suspicious sniff from a germ-conscious potential hotel diner. But ducks marching single file through a hotel lobby and a perfectly synchronized strut have been unusual and amusing enough to establish and maintain a million-dollar reputation for the Peabody Hotels. Well, ducks, for whatever reason, have been symbols of order and repetitive sameness throughout history. It's there in our language. We allude to getting our ducks in a row and to sitting ducks. Ducks are what roll by in front of us in neat lines at the shooting arcade. In their procession through the Peabody Hotel, the ducks' movements are perfectly predictable. Each duck precisely mimics the duck parading in front of it. They march strictly in step, reach their destination, and then they retreat in the same orderly fashion. The ducks delight the crowds, but nobody wants to be a duck. We find ducks comical or quaint, but we don't necessarily admire them. So why is it that so many of us go through life emulating the sameness, the one-beat rhythm that those Peabody ducks perform as a daily sideshow? One has only to step into one's backyard to realize that sameness or monotony is not the pattern for God's creation. Diversity of form, color, size, shape, function, status, and essence is how God has fashioned creation. Just because creation doesn't live and move in lockstep precision does not mean that chaos reigns. God's creations may be numerous and multiformed, but there's one spirit that keeps all attuned to the common divine rhythm. When Jesus chose his own disciples, he was really breaking with the pattern traditional in teacher-student relationships of his day. Jesus chose his disciples out of love. He welcomed them as friends and beckoned them to experience firsthand a lay-down love. Traditional teachers of the age expected their students to be ducks, throwing back verbatim the lessons that they had learned, each student a cloned copy of all the rest. But in contrast to the ancient teacher-student relationship, Jesus wanted his disciples to abide with him. Abiding took place not through words alone, but through love above all. Love may be experienced and expressed in countless ways, But Jesus knew that as long as his disciples continued to abide in the Father's love, there would be a commonality of purpose that would direct their actions and bear fruit. Jesus' love dared to be different from the expected. Jesus' love took risks. You see, Jesus didn't want ducks. Jesus wanted geese. Now, when geese are on the move, they fly in that familiar V formation. Yet even though they fly in rhythm, they don't move strictly in step. Each bird seeks out the best alignment for drafting behind the goose in front of them. Geese fly in formation, but a formation that's always changing and adjusting. The formation depends on the wind velocity and the direction, the strength of the individual birds, the quality of the air, the weather the flock encounters. Now, the next time that you hear that familiar yet haunting sound of honking geese in flight, take a moment and look up in the sky. Rarely will you see a perfect V overhead. One side of the formation might lag or it might droop a bit. One or two birds might appear to be completely out of alignment. And even as you watch, one V might break off into two separate formations. With new individuals taking over the lead roles, it's always changing. Geese use each other to determine the strongest, best position to take at any given moment. They travel together, not in step, but rather in sync, sharing an internal and external rhythm that guides their journey, but never wholly dictates their next move. But if Jesus' relationship with his disciples was out of step with the culture, it was in perfect sync with the true rhythm of God's creation. Love, as God intends us to experience it and express it, is not contained and controlled by style or circumstance. Love, as God intends, defies convention. It defies safety, giving us the courage even to lay down our lives for those whom we love. That is the love others should see most clearly in the church, in how we act towards others, and how we act toward each other. But where does the church go when we leave this room? Where is the church on Monday morning? The church then is in the dentist's office, in the automobile sales room, in the repair shop. It's in, out in the truck, it's in the hospital, in the classroom, and in the home. It's in the offices, insurance, and law, and real estate. That's where the church is. Wherever you are, wherever God's people are, they're doing what they ought to be doing. They're honoring God, not just while they worship in a building, but out there where we live. 1,300 years ago, St. Boniface wrote in her voyage across the ocean of this world, that the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. You see, no other organization on the face of the earth is charged with the high calling to which the church is summoned, to confront people with Jesus Christ and the good news that he brings. Some churches, in fulfilling this, become duck communions, copying each other, mimicking here what works over there, trying to look and act just like everybody else. But effective churches that truly listen to God's call take wing as geese, hearing the common rhythm of Christ's Spirit, but not afraid to adjust the tempo, to live a few tones off of dissonance, even initiate a new tune. As long as there is an abiding in Christ's love. Geese fly in rhythm, but not in unison. Abiding in the sacramental lay-down love Christ has offered to all his disciples. And that frees us from that dreary duck-like sameness that we can so easily slip into. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The New Testament does not imagine solitary religion, some kind of regular assembly for worship and instruction is everywhere taken for granted in the epistles. So we must be regular practicing members of the church. Of course, we differ in temperament. Some find it more natural to approach God in solitude. But we must go to church as well. For the church is not a human society of people united by their natural affinities, but the body of Christ, in which all members, however different, must share a common life, complementing and helping one another precisely by their differences. Biblically, the church is an organism, not an organization. It's a movement, not a monument. It's not part of the community. It is a whole new community. It's not an orderly gathering. It's a new order with new values, often in sharp conflict with the values expressed in the society around us." I want to end with a little rhyme that I came across that seemed to summarize a little bit what I'm saying. "I think my soul is a tame old duck, dabbling about in the barnyard muck, fat and lazy with useless wings. But sometimes when the north wind sings and the wild ones hurtle overhead, it remembers something lost and dead and cocks a wary, bewildered eye and makes a feeble attempt to fly. It's fairly content with the state it's in, but it isn't the duck it might have been." You and I are like Peabody Hotel ducks that have been adopted into a free-flying family of geese. We're adopted sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. The two questions I have for you this morning: are you willing to claim that birthright? Are you willing to take flight? Amen.